my friend, Tim Smith, and he wants to speak on behalf of himself and his wife, Amy, and just some of the pieces of generosity that God has been working in your life. We sat in my office in January or February, and I just asked you about how things are going in your fiscal life, and you just opened up about all that God has been doing, and you just want to come and encourage the congregation with your story. Would you come and share with us, brother?
Yep. Thank you, John.
Appreciate you, man. Love you.
Good morning. Many of you know me, or you might not know me, I guess. My wife is in the back here, and she's a teacher at Maysville. But like I told the first service, forgive me for my speaking skills. It's been 20-some years or more, quite a few more than 20-some years since I've been out of school. So, but anyways, I grew up in a little church since I've been 6 months old, 15 miles south of here, Crooksville Free Methodist Church, Main Street, Crooksville, Ohio. And faithfully went to church. My mom and dad did. We went Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, we went Wednesday evening, we went to revivals, we went to church camps, you name it, we went to it. And I watched my mom and dad grow up tithing, you know, giving their tithing, praising to the Lord, and I know in my heart and in my mind what I was supposed to do, but I was truly blessed. You know, I graduated from school. My dad was a union carpenter for 44 years. I graduated going through natural resource, heavy equipment operation, went into carpentry. I got a union carpenter job right out of school at 18 years old because I had worked alongside my dad as a child, making super good money, super good money. I was blessed, with two good kids. And my tithing at that time was, I guess, the way I said first service, whatever I had in my wallet at the time when I sat down on a Sunday morning, that is what I tithed, you know. And a lot of times that wasn't very much. I'll be honest with you, that wasn't very much. And it went on that way quite a few years, you know, up until dramatically about 7 years ago I got injured on the job, and my wife stuck beside me. I fell and had some pretty good injuries, had to have both hips replaced and some back work done, and we were at rock bottom to the point of we lost everything. We lost our home, we lost our vehicles, we lost everything we had, everything, you know, all that stuff that we had, and it was nothing that the Lord had been with us all along. But, it can come and go just as quick, you know. It can be taken away tomorrow. And we went to a home which was, we had to rent that wasn't really fit to be lived in. It had mold issues. It had a lot of things, water running through the basement. It wasn't a good situation. And I was to the point at that time, I got hospitalized of depression. And a lot of people don't know this. I was to the point of suicide. And at that point, I didn't know what to do. And I had two very good mentors in this church, older men, and they know who they are, that come alongside me and mentored me. And one did a Bible study with me for quite a period. And he told me, he said, the Lord's not done with you yet. You know, there's still things the Lord wants you to do.
That's right.
So, the past 7 years, I've had 13 surgeries, and look at me today, I'm doing very well, and we're blessed. Me and my wife are truly blessed, and at the end of last winter, I sat down and did my finances, and we had went through financial peace here at church, and after doing my finances and doing the bills and what have you, my wife came home from school one day, and I said, here's our situation. This is what we have left. She started crying. She couldn't believe it. She could not believe what we had been through and what we had come out to. And I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give this much every month to the Lord. This is the Lord's money. So it's not, and I had a hard time a lot of times listening to this same message that I'm giving you, saying, here's somebody given me this. But I seen from these two mentors the gift that they give to me, the gift that they give to everyone, and I wanted what the peace and the enjoyment they had in their life. I wanted that for me, and I wanted that for my wife. So since that period, we have given, you know, what our tithing amount, and generously, and beyond that, we help out around the church or whatever we can do. And I just want to challenge you guys, you know, if you feel led to give, that's your choice. The Lord doesn't need your money. The church definitely doesn't need your money. Neither does the Lord. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too, so it doesn't matter, you know. So, you know, it's just, you know, the feeling that we have got seeing out of what we have given for helping others is just such a gratitude and enjoyment and a blessing for the Lord and a blessing for his kingdom. So that's a little bit of my story, and thank you for letting me share with you.
Appreciate you, brother. I love you. Get glad. God is good. Hey, Tim, giving is fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, praise God. If you want to have a party, if you want to have fun in your life, then you'll practice the opportunity of being a generous giver, because giving is an absolute blast and an absolute blessing. And we just want to make sure that everyone has a chance to be able to be a part of that. So we want to invite you to come out this next Sunday. It's called Joyful Surrender Sunday. It's October the 29th. We're going to have a party going on here. We've got a breakfast, a full breakfast for you out of the Hebrews Cafe. Our choir is going to be here singing. And we're going to have an opportunity to bring our commitments before God and to be able to fill out an estimate of giving card, because Jesus has done so much for us. And we want to commit back to God just a small portion of the blessings he's brought into our life. Now, we've been in the middle of a sermon series to highlight Joyful Surrender Sunday that will culminate next week on some very simple and common sense, good sense principles when it comes to handling our financial and fiscal lives. It's kind of what I call Dr. Seussing it. It's rather simple. Last week was, remember, what was last week? Anybody remember the sermon title last week? What was the good sense principle last week? Less is more. All right, I heard it down here. Two people were listening last week. Awesome, this is fantastic. Woo, we are on a good start. Less is more, right? So this week is giving is good. And next week is going to be stress is bad. How many believe that stress is bad? How many of you have ever experienced that financial stress is bad? How many of you have ever had financial stress? Every hand should go up, because it is something that touches the heart of every American household. So we're going to deal with that. We're going to figure out how to be set free in the name of Jesus Christ and watch him move powerfully in our lives. So you guys ready for today? We're going to talk about giving is good, and it's going to be fun. And we're going to talk about giving and what God can do in our hearts and our souls. Two truths about giving. Whenever you give, two truths. You will bless somebody, and you yourself will be blessed. That's what you heard from Tim. It's been a blessing to be able to see the blessings in other people's lives, but he's been blessed to be a giver. Let's start in scripture right out of the canon here this morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Follow along with your notes. There's a way you can look at the notes. It'll tell you how to do it on your smartphone. Welcome to those of you around the world here on the internet campus. You are not by yourselves in this worship area today. We are worshiping around the United States and around the world. And hey, Brother John Lambert, if you're on station and on point in Afghanistan and you're watching right now, we give you greetings from Rolling Plains Church. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You guys ready to go? I'm excited for this. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and what he said, that it is what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want us to read that last line together. You ready? 1, 2, 3. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, just because I'm not sure we're convinced yet, I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to say to your neighbor, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, some of you have just been arguing with your spouse around finances around this, so you need to make sure you're looking at your spouse or the neighbor on the other side of you and say, honey, or, no, if it's a stranger, don't say honey, because that's going to be, woo, man, I went to Rolling Plains Church today, and a complete stranger called me honey. You say, hey, listen, it is more blessed to give and receive. Go ahead, go for it. It is. I mean, it just is. It's a biblical truth. It's more blessed to be able to give than to receive. It is hardwired into your DNA because you are a creation of God. Because if we're honest, there aren't too many emotional, tear-filled stories about when we consumed something. You know, we didn't shed tears or cry when we finally got that flat-screen TV. Well, I'll confess a little bit when I finally got that flat-screen TV. It was happy, but, you know, a couple days later, it just kind of wore off, right? And I certainly didn't shed any tears over it because it would short-circuit if you did that. Or maybe when you got your first iPhone or your first pair of Air Jordan sneakers, you didn't get emotional and start crying all over the place. And if you did, it didn't last for more than a day or two. Or maybe you were finally able to get your nails done. You got to visit the spa and you got your hair done. And you just felt so close to the Lord Jesus Christ because you had some going on nails when you walked out of the spa or the salon that day. Or maybe you finally were able to get that compound bow and you were like, thank you, Lord Jesus. My soul is full. Tears were flowing out of your eyes as you're walking out of the sporting goods store. Doesn't happen when we consume, does it? We don't know a lot of emotionally charged, tear-filled, consuming stories. But if we're honest, we have a lot of emotional giving stories if you're like me. Think about it. Think about those moments when you prayed about it to God and God placed an amount on your heart that he wanted you to give, and it was a big gift for you to be able to give regardless of what other people thought, and you gave it, and you gave it on faith, and it impacted a ministry or it impacted a person, and you walked away with a deep sense of satisfaction. Or that first time you finally decided you were going to follow God's word and you were going to do the minimum and you decided you were going to tithe in your spirit, and it was a huge step of faith for you. Maybe you took the 90-day tithe challenge. And you just tried it for 90 days, and you felt the joy and the purpose of that moment of being obedient because you saw God step up and provide when you didn't know if you were going to be able to do it, and you were blessed by God's provision. Or maybe you gave away something significant that you could have sold, and you made a sacrificial gift, and the person that you gave that gift to was blown away. They were blown away by your generosity, and you discovered in your spirit that it was more blessed to give than to receive. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? And we shed tears, and our heart was stirred, and we still remember those stories. We can recount them. We can have conversations about them because you are hardwired to be blessed when you give, more so than when you receive. I remember moments when Erin would come home from the grocery store, and she still does this from time to time, and she said, you know, I just felt led by God to pay for the lady's groceries in front of me. And you know, my first question, it isn't, oh, praise Jesus. Sometimes it's like, how much was that? This is how we're wired as human beings. It's like, well, it's like $245. $245, that's a lot of money. She said, God called me to do it. I said, well, I'm not interrupting God. And I'm not stepping on my wife's feet because she runs things anyway. So that's what we're doing. And all of a sudden, I just realized the blessing. Even though I wasn't there, I feel blessed. Times when I've had a chance to fill people's gas tank, and they've given me hugs, complete strangers, and we've prayed together. I remember bringing a box of donuts to the guys at Walmart that changed the oil on my car around Christmas time, and they thought I was from another planet. They thought I had three heads. You mean you want to have Daryl's Donuts with us, and you're bringing them? They're like, you know, they're calling the guys in. They're dropping their gloves. They're coming in. They're having donuts. They're just so blessed. You know what? I was more blessed than they were. It just filled my spirit to be able to do that. Guys, you remember those moments where you've blessed somebody and the tears kind of came into your eyes. That's why giving is just so good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, Paul says these words in the Bible, you will be enriched in every way so that you can do what? So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. You mean when you give, there are going to be people that are going to thank God because of you? How cool is that? People are going to give glory to God because you gave. God, people's hearts are going to be turned to God because you gave. They're going to thank God and they're going to use your name to do it. You think, well, how does that work? Well, how about this past spring when I had a chance to go back to Vietnam and I had a chance to visit a small town by the name of Pak Miao right outside of Hanoi. And there was a building, and we're going to see pictures of that right now. There was a building there, and I was told very secretively by Uto, who was our missionary, that that was the building that Rolling Plains purchased with $23,000 you gave at Advent Conspiracy 2 years ago. Now, we had to do it in secret because the government was traveling with us. And pause right there. That sign right there is in Vietnamese. It basically says refreshment stop or refreshment stand. And so the Vietnamese pastors got there before we did, set up a mock refreshment stand so the Americans had an excuse to be able to legally stop there. And the government didn't know this. We were celebrating We were celebrating a new church being launched and birthed in this building. They thought we were there to pick up sodas and be on our way. And so we walked into the back. We snuck into the back. It was Dennis Miller, our district superintendent. It was Utto, our missionary connection there, and me. And we had a prayer vigil in the back, and we dedicated it to the Lord. We gave it to the Lord. And you want to know what Utto said? And then later the pastor, I want you to show that picture of me and the pastor there. The pastor whose family was going to both live there and turn it into a house church to reach the community, they said, thank God for the people of Rolling Plains Church. Thank God. People on the other side of the world are mentioning your name and they're glorifying God and praising his name because you gave. Now, I just want to ask you one thing. How does that feel? Does it stir in your spirit? Does it cause you to want to jump out of your seat and sing hallelujah, praise Jesus? I mean, does it bring tears to your eyes? Those are the emotional stories that we'll remember. And we won't remember those stories when we consume something, but when people praise God and give him thanksgiving in our name, those are the life-changing stories that we get a chance to experience. So if it is more blessed to give than to, by the way to go, church. Way to go, church. You have a sister congregation in Pak Mau, Vietnam, and I hope to get a chance to go back sometime to be able to see how they're doing and to continue to make connections. But let me ask you this simple question. If it is more blessed to give than to receive, why don't we do more of it? Oh my. Oh my. You feeling a little uncomfortable yet? See, getting a little hot? I mean, ask yourself that question. If it's more blessed to give than to receive, according to God's word, and we know that it is because we felt it, why don't we do more of it? Three reasons. Just three simple reasons right off the bat. Number one, we just like stuff. We want to have more money. We want to have more stuff because if we just had more money, we'd feel a lot better about us. So money kind of fills a void in our life, and we kind of have this addiction to money. And though we want to, it becomes hard for us to be able to let go of it and give it. And the second reason is sometimes we've seen the financial message abused by pastors and other churches. You know, you put $100 in the plate, you know, you're going to get $1,000 back. If you would just pray Psalm 132:52 or something like that, then you'll get $1,302.52 back if you give $5. That's a prosperity gospel, and that's not God's word. We don't teach that because it's not in God's word. And sometimes when we say, hey, listen, you know, when you give, God is going to give back to you. And sometimes people say, well, does that mean God's going to provide for me monetarily? Well, he could. I'm not going to stop from saying that God can't do that. But if we just stop there, we fall short of the tremendous blessings that God wants to give to us. And I'll share that with you in just a minute. Number three, we live with a scarcity mindset rather than an abundant mindset. We live with a human scarcity mindset rather than that we have a God who has an incredible source of abundance to bless us with. And so we say, listen, if I give, I'm going to have less. If I give, I'm not going to have enough to go around. And we live with the subtraction mentality when it comes to giving. I need more, not less, so I can't give. And so rather than this having this attitude where we say, listen, I'm blessed to be a blessing, or I serve an abundant God and I believe that he can provide. I serve a God whose math equation is multiplication when it comes to giving and not subtraction. I serve a God who, in the feeding of the 5,000, whose math was like this, 5 loaves plus 2 fish, equals 5,000 remainder, 12 baskets full of crumbs for everybody else. That's the kind of math that my God works with. How about yours? Amen. How about yours? God is a God of multiplication, and if that's the case, would God uproot us from this scarcity mindset to believe that he has everything that we could ever possibly need? No, we're not going to sell God short, and we're not just going to think that he wants to bring us a financial blessing when we give, but we're going to believe that it's not just about getting $10 back if we get $100, or if we give $10, we get $100 back. It's not what it's about, but God can do that. God can drop, and in some cases will drop, a financial blessing into your life, but that's not the promise I'm giving you, and God is giving you a bigger promise than that. He says when you give, you're going to feel more fulfillment in your life. You can't put a price on that. When you give, you're going to experience more joy because it's more blessed to give than to receive. You're going to experience more purpose in your life because God is using you to make a difference in the life of another person. And by the way, let's just get practical. When you learn to be a generous person and you can let go of your purse strings and put it into God's hands, guess what? It makes you a better person. You're more fun to be around. You know, the most joy-filled people that walk around this earth, you just know that they're givers. You just know that generosity is what's producing that. It'll help your relationships. It will bless your marriage. Hey, listen, did you know the number one reason for divorce in America? It's not infidelity. It's money. And if we can learn to be more generous, don't you think that that will begin to be a glue that brings two people back together again? It's possible. Of course, all things are possible in the hands of God when we put what we have in God's hands. Proverbs chapter 11, the Bible says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. It's what I just described. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. What kind of world do you want to have? Do you want to have a world that for you grows larger and larger? Or do you want to have a world that for you grows smaller and smaller? The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. And that's why we can say that giving is good. That's why we can say that it's more blessed to give than to be able to receive. That when you give, there are two truths. You remember those two truths? You bless others. And who else gets blessed? You do. Whenever you give, no matter what is the situation, there are two truths. You will bless somebody, and you yourself will get a chance to be blessed. So don't we want to get better in this action of giving? Don't we? I do. I want to get better. And so we want to just spend the rest of our time talking about three simple ways we can grow in generosity. Three simple ways we grow in generosity. We're going to start with the foundation. Number one, that foundation is we're going to trust God with the tithe. And the tithe is the starting point. It's the beginning of trust. In the Bible, in Leviticus, it says, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be, I love this word, underline it, set apart to him as holy. It's holy. It's set apart. It's God's. We tithe, and the tithe is a Hebrew word for tenth. That means if you receive $1,000 from an employer, from your boss or a workplace, then God says that first $100 is mine and it belongs to me, and we return it to him as an act of worship. Now, to a lot of us, that seems crazy, but let me give you another piece of God's word here. In Malachi 3:10, the Bible says, it doesn't say give the whole tithe, it says bring the whole tithe. You want to know why? Because you can't give what's not yours. It's holy, it's set apart. God says, don't touch it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse today? The modern-day local church. That there may be food in my house to test me in this, he says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And so we're going to bring it to the church. And so what we get today in this house, while we're here today, we're getting spiritual food, we're getting nourishment, we're being strengthened in the things of God, and your family and your children and your grandchildren, they're growing up and being blessed and being given spiritual food. And we're becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so we bring the food into the storehouse so that we can be fed. And nowhere else in Scripture are we told to test God. So if that's the case, why would God tell us to test him in this and give us permission to do so? It's because it's so hard to loosen our grasp on our money. It is. It's just so hard to let go of this. And most of us, we gave most of our life to Jesus Christ. When we were baptized, we held this above the water. You know, the rest of our body went into the water, and this is the last holdout. We even took some of our electronics with us. We'll say, Lord, you can have my cell phone, you can have my electronic. We even let that get wet. But most of us would raise our purse strings or our wallets or our purses, credit cards. We'd hold that above the water because we're just not ready to give that to God yet. And that's why that's the one place that God says, test me in this. And that's why it's an opportunity for us to be able to say, listen, 10%, are you serious, God? I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. And some of our responses is, gosh, God, in order to be able to do that, I might have to totally rearrange my life around God. Exactly. That's the point of the biblical tithe, for us to be able to do that. You say, but how am I going to be able to do this so that we can loosen the grasp on our life? You say, in order to be able to do this, I'm going to have to completely rely on you, God. I'm going to have great faith in you, God. Exactly. That's what tithing is. It's to move us out of our comfort zone financially to be able to be at the point where we say, God, I need you involved in my finances to be able to come through. I'm dependent on you. That's a great place for us to be. And I remember early on in our marriage, we played games with that. We called our tithe the first 10%. We gave a little to the church. We gave to somebody in Campus Crusade for Christ. We gave to a World Vision kid. We gave to the kids who came to our door to sell candy for school or whatever it is. And we just all threw all that in and lumped it in and said, that's our tithe. And so we kind of fought God with that. We were kind of playing games with God, and God said, no. He said, just give the first 10% and give it away. Don't control it on the way out. You just bring it into the local church, and that's a tithe. And a friend spoke that truth to us, and it completely changed our lives. And as newlyweds, you know, 17 years ago, We looked at our debt, we looked at our bills, and we just jumped right in. And when we jumped right in and just started tithing the way that God calls us to tithe, the first 10% into the local church, we were giving above and beyond that to some of the other things now that I was mentioning. We just felt this peace and joy that passed all human understanding. All human understanding. And I just felt like this thing in my life just said, you know what, I'm finally doing what God asks me to do, and I'm trusting him, and I'm relying on him to come through, and it grew my faith, and it continues to grow my faith until this day. I felt closer to God. I felt like there was a barrier between me and God that was lifted, and the barrier was my sense of control and needing to control my finances. And because of that, he blessed our finances. He's provided for us every step along the way, and we have not missed a penny of what we've given to God through the local church. How extravagantly faithful we've discovered our God is. Amen. That's why I want to give you the chance for the 90-day tithe challenge. Don't add up your bills. Don't add up your income. Don't add any of it up. But just look at your income and say, what's the first 10% of everything that comes in? And give it to God through the local church according to his command. And if you'll do that for 90 days, and if you'll do that in an accountable way, and if you're not further blessed by it at the end of that 90 days, if you don't feel the blessings of God, if you're not better off financially, if you're not like Tim standing up here and saying, God has blessed me abundantly in mind, body, and spirit as a result of me trusting him with my finances, then meet with us and we'll give you every penny, every dime of that money back, because God says, test me in this, and we want to give you the opportunity to put your money where God's mouth is. And we want to give you that opportunity to do that, a money back guarantee, to be able to experience the blessings of being a giver. Because what we've discovered is that, you know what, it's not about a have to, it's a get to. We get a chance to discover that we worship God with the first fruits of everything that comes in, like we do at the first of our day with a devotion, like we do at the first day of the week, like when we come to worship. And when we do that, we experience his blessings, because God can do far more in your life with 90% than he can, he can do far more with 10% and you having 90 than you can do with you having 100%, because he's God. Secondly, if you're taking notes, plan your generosity. You know, we plan to acquire, don't we? I mean, we have plans to acquire. We do this in my family, and there's nothing wrong with this, but let's just focus on this for a second. You know, our kids for a year have been saving up their birthday money and their Christmas money and 4th of July money and Halloween money and Valentine's Day money and Arbor Day money and Martin Luther King Jr. money and you know, any holiday they could possibly imagine. If they got money, they were putting it away. Why? Because we were going to the House of Mouse in July. And so they were planning, and they were saving in order to be able to spend and to consume. Nothing wrong with that. But for a lot of us, you know, we'll shop the internet for hours to find the best deals. We'll work to find that 20% coupon before we go to Kohl's, because nobody pays full price at Kohl's. If you pay full price at Kohl's, you have tripped and fallen and hurt yourself, okay? You ever get done at Kohl's and they say, well, you saved $165 and you have one pair of jeans sitting in the basket. You say, well, how's that possible? Because at Kohl's, you just never pay full price. That's just kind of the way it is. But we shop, we hunt for those 20% off coupons. We'll organize an entire day around going to the outlet malls. We'll drive an hour and a half both ways so we can get a killer pair of sneakers that are on sale. And nothing's necessarily wrong with that, but what if we sat around and had conversations like this with our family? How can we plan not just to acquire more, guys, but what if we planned on giving more? Guys, what if we planned on being more generous? You might get some blank stares around the table, but maybe it's time to have that conversation. You start strategizing about how you're going to rearrange your lives to be able to better honor God. The Bible says in Isaiah, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. They do what? They have a plan. They plan their generosity, and they stand firm. It's not accidental. It's intentional. I mean, we all go through bad economic times. No matter what your portfolio looks like, when there are bad economic times, everybody feels it, and our income slows down from time to time. But a generous giver, generous people, will stand firm. They won't give in, and they'll stand firm in their generosity even when times are quote-unquote bad. People will sell things in order to continue to be able to give. They'll spend less at Christmas time in order to continue to be able to give. They'll go out and work. If they're out of work, they'll go and serve more because they have some free time. You know, we've just got to give something. It's in our human DNA. We've got to give back. And so they stand firm in their generosity, and they have a plan to be generous. You know, a generous person plans at the beginning of the month to set aside what is God's, and it's no surprise because they have a plan when the offering basket comes during worship, because they're ready to worship God with their whole life, including their finances. My parents, they carry around gift cards in their car. I know this because one day we were sitting in the car, and my dad and I were waiting for my mom or something, and a guy comes up and knocks on the window. And at first our response was a little bit of concern, and then we just realized he was just destitute, struggling. And he says, "I just need to ask you." He says, "I'm embarrassed to do this. My kid and my wife, we just haven't had anything to eat." My dad reaches in the glove box and hands him a $20 gift card to Burger King or something, I don't know. And I said, "Dad, did you just have that laying around?" And he says, "No, your mom and I decided that we're just going to have multiple gift cards to multiple places in our car. And so, by the way, I'm not going to give you the make and model of the car because you may want to get in there and get a hold of a couple of that. I don't know, but, you know, what do they do? It wasn't an accident. It was planned. Did you hear that? It was planned. They plan to be generous when the opportunity arises. And so we're going to plan to be generous like my parents. My parents, my entire life, they've planned their giving. They've tithed. They give above and beyond the tithe. And they're not miserable people. They're the most joy-filled and passionate and powerful and blessed people that you could ever possibly meet because they plan their tithe and they stand firm on their tithe. Even when my dad lost his job, they continued to give. Even when they didn't have an income, they have a plan and they stand firm. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a plan to give? Do you have a plan to stand firm? Because we spend a lot of time planning our consuming. Let's get a plan to give. Number three, and finally, start being generous right now. Not next week. Right now, next week we're going to learn to get out of debt, and so maybe that's when you want to hear about that. We're going to learn to get out of debt, and one of the things you're going to hear about the freedom of getting out of debt is one of the keys to financial health is to be a giver. So no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much debt you have, we start now by being generous and watch God's blessings flow. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ." The only reasonable response to what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and for me is to give our whole life to God, isn't it? And by the way, the last time all of us checked, a part of our life is our finances. We can't give him everything in our life except for our finances and say, "God, you have my whole life." We got to give him our whole life. And knowing Jesus' generosity just makes me want to start being a generous giver right now. I want to put some more pictures up from a Vietnam trip that we had 2 years ago. And this was the shack that we worshipped in. We were with a village of people that day that they didn't have two wooden nickels to rub together. They were living in poverty and squalor. And at the end of the worship service, and that's the worship experience inside that shack, we all gathered around a fire outside, and they started handing us bamboo shoots full of this amazing steamed rice. And then they handed us these like pork cutlets or pork chops that were grilled or barbecued over the fire. And I noticed something very quickly as I chowed down because I was hungry, is that the Vietnamese pastors and all the Americans were eating, but none of the villagers were eating. And I asked one of the Vietnamese pastors why they weren't eating, and they say, "Well, they're not used to eating meat." I said, "What do you mean they're not used to eating meat? They can't afford it." So in other words, I said, "Well, how did they afford this?" And he said, "Well, this is their entire week's worth of wages to be able to do this." He says, "I can't eat this." He says, "No, no, you must eat this because they want you to have it. And if you don't eat it, you'll disrespect them and their hearts will be broken." They had nothing and they were desperate to give us everything they had. You see, I think a lot of times we go overseas to realize the people that have nothing are some of the most generous people that you'll walk into. Because the idea in America today, you know, American generosity is that we give out of our abundance. In Vietnam, they give out of their poverty. Now, when we give out of our abundance in America today, we do it kicking and screaming. They would have been kicking and screaming if I didn't eat what they gave me. And when we walked away, I realized in the bus as God changed my life and my heart because of that moment. Because I wasn't comfortable eating in front of those folk, but I did it because God needed me to do that for me to experience it, is that I wasn't the one that was most blessed. I realized that those villagers were more blessed than I was in that moment. What if as a church we led the way with irrational generosity and caused our community's heads to spin because Rolling Plains Church were such big givers? It's just good sense. It's just common sense. Less is more. You know, we don't need more because better is one handful with peace than two handfuls full of turmoil and chasing the wind. Giving is good. It's just good sense. Stress is bad. We're going to learn that next week. It's just good sense. Why wait to be a blessing to the kingdom of God? Why wait to be a blessing to others? Why wait to be blessed ourselves? You say, "Well, I just got to wait until I get more to be able to give." You know what? If that's the mentality that you live with, I'm here to tell you something. You're never going to have enough. You'll never have enough to be a giver. And so today is the day. We're going to trust God with our first and best, and we're going to give it to him and believe that he's going to bless the rest. And when you give, two truths, you're blessed and you bless other people. Action steps and we're done. Number one, what adjustment do you need to make in your life to take the next step in your giving? Number two, take the 90-day tithe challenge. Write it on the back of the card, and I'll send you a letter that lets you know that I'm praying for you, and we'll be in partnership and watch what God does. Come to a financial peace class just one time on a Thursday night. It's going on right now. And then you'll get a taste for it, and then you'll say, hey, listen, I want to take the full-blown experience starting next January or February. And we want you to pray every day at 6:09 a.m. and p.m. with our Breakthrough Prayer Initiative, and add to that, would you pray for our Burn That Note campaign for our capital debt so that we could be out of debt as a church by 2020 to watch what God could do with that money that we're paying down on our debt right now? Would you pray about that for our church? And maybe if you're already at the tithe, you're ready to give above and beyond to that, and you're going to hear more about that next week. Would you pray about coming to Joyful Surrender Sunday, next Sunday on the 29th, and allow God to use you to bring a commitment forward that will give you such satisfaction and blessing, you won't even know what to do with the blessings that come. And then will you add to your prayer time and pray, God, what percentage of my income are you asking me to give? And watch what he does as you realize and experience that when you give, you bless others. And when you give, God blesses you. Amen. Praise God.